Word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You again. And thank You for continually allowing us to come before You. Lord, You just enabled us to worship Your holy name. And if You would be so merciful, would You enable us again? Lord, we pray for Your message. We don't pray for a good outline. And we don't pray for something that'll challenge our mind. Lord, we pray for Your message for today. And so, Lord, in spite of me, who is sufficient for these things, Lord, would You please bless our hearts and take this word and reveal our King to us, we pray. Lord, help us right now grab our hearts and grab our minds and grab our souls. Take us out of this world and translate us into Your presence. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. And I want to prepare you that we're going to turn to quite a few scriptures this morning, which is a good thing. But get ready, because we're going to turn to quite a few scriptures. I want us to look at something that is an amazing event. It is an amazing event. It's an event that is full of wonder. And it's an event that is very puzzling. It's very puzzling. It can be extremely hard to understand. And the event I'm talking about is the trial and the conviction and the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The trial itself. The wonder of it is God's purpose in it. That's the wonder of it. Now, we all know this event. It's what we preach every single time, don't we? We preach this every single time. But the part that is so puzzling is why He allowed everything to fall out the way it did. That's the puzzling part. Why He allowed everything specifically to happen the way it did. Did He have to die on that cross? Absolutely. But the puzzling thing is why He allowed all that to happen the way it did. Even by natural understanding, this is full of wonder. It really is. Let's look at this event. I'm going to use Matthew 27, verse 17 for a text. It says, "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Which one? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. Two men stood before the people. Two men. Both of the men were well known. Very well known. Look at verse 16, Matthew 27, 16. "And they had then a notable prisoner." We have some today, don't we? Some notable prisoners. Very well known. "They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas." He was famous. It wasn't just two men. He was famous. Well known. His deeds were well known. Now turn with me over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, this is talking about our Lord. Verse 26 says, "And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land." The fame. Our Lord was well known. Very well known. He was more well known than we realize. He was very well known. And His deeds were very well known. What were they? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them." He healed every sick person that came to Him. Every single one. And the people knew that. Look at verse 25. It says, "And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and great multitudes from Decapolis, and great multitudes from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." Everybody knew. I mean, everybody knew. Go with me over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 19 says, "And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." The Lord fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everybody knew. Everybody knew. Go with me over to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 says, "And it came to pass the day after that He went into a city called Nain, and many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. Now when He came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And He came and touched the coffin, and they that bare Him stood still. And He said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And He delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited His people. And this rumor of Him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about." It went everywhere. Boom. He raised a dead man. I heard He fed 5,000. Yeah, it's wonderful, but He raised a dead man. Lazarus, come forth. Verse 19 right here says, "And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And the men were come unto him, and they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached." They walked up to him and they said, "John Baptist sent us to find out, are you he that should come, or look we for another?" And there was a blind man there, and he healed him. And there was a deaf man there, and he healed him. And there was a man with a devil in him, and he cast that devil out. And then after all that, he answered them. He said, "Now you go show John." Everybody knew. I'm telling you, everybody knew. Now that was one of the two men who were standing before the people at this event, this great event. As we've already said, the other one was well known too. He was very well known. Go with me to Mark 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 7 says, "Now there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him." Insurrection means an uprising, a rebellion. And it says, "There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." Barabbas got a bunch of men together, and they started a riot throughout the town. That's what they did. And you have seen, I'm sure, movies and things like that that depict just a vile, wicked, chaotic riot. Just an evil, evil riot. And in the process of this riot, Barabbas murdered a man. And it does not say if it was one. It just says he committed murder. He might have been running through town just slashing people, just killing people as he went. Now go with me over to John 18. John 18, verse, the end, the last phrase of verse 40 says, "Now Barabbas was a robber." That's what Barabbas was. He was a robber. I'm sure he was always a robber. My guess is he was looting in the riot. He was a thief. That's what he was. He was a thief. He's laying there with the other men that had made this insurrection with him. My guess is it was two of them. Two other thieves. And they grabbed hold of our Lord and they said, "Throw him in there with the thieves, with the ones that made insurrection." And he was numbered with those transgressors. And this man Barabbas, he was a vile and wicked man, good for nothing but dying. That's the only thing he was good for. And the people knew it. Everybody knew it. Two men stood before the people. And Pilate said right here in John 18, verse 39, he said, "But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." That's who we want, is Barabbas. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. No, we don't want him. Do you know what he's done? Yes, we do. He's fed us. He's healed us. He's delivered us. What about this one? What has he done? He murdered our family members. Stole all of our stuff. Who do you want? We'll take him. Isn't that amazing? Now here's what's so full of wonder about this to me. As I read this Word of God, I understand it to say that I am no better than these people who had two men standing before them. I'm no better than those people. I would choose the same thing. You think that's crazy. Well, I would choose the same thing. And I am no better than this man Barabbas. I understand this true word to say that I have walked according to the course of this world. I understand it to say that I am a child of disobedience. It says, I have fulfilled the lust of my flesh. That's what it says. Fulfilled the desires of my flesh and of my mind, and I am by nature a child of wrath, just like everybody else. I understand Romans 3 to say that there is none righteous, no, not one, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I understand John 5 to say that I will not come to him that I might have life. And in this flesh I have not the love of God in me. That's what it says. I am a prisoner of sin. And as a sinner against God, I am the leader of rebellion. That's what I am. And in my rebellion, in my hatred, my heart has committed murder. I have robbed God of His glory. And the true word says that if I'm left in my sin, I am going to stand before God compared to, side by side with, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that day, if I am left in my sin, two men are going to stand before that judgment throne. And I am going to be side by side compared with the absolute perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? It means, I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas. I've always heard this story, you know, and you just hate Barabbas. And he didn't deserve that. One of those days along the way, the Lord revealed to me, wait a minute, I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas. The wonder of this event is I am Barabbas. I am the notorious chief of sinners. And in our flesh, we are all Barabbas. Every one of us. We're Barabbas. This event is so full of wonder, isn't it? But in this is something wonderful. It's amazing. Go back with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 21 says, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him. Now God in mercy allowed them to all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released. Let him be crucified. Let his blood be on us and be on our children. And then released he, Barabbas, unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. In this flesh, we are Barabbas. We're Barabbas. But in Christ, we are all Barabbas. I want to show you something in Acts chapter 4. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation." That's what the name Barnabas means. The son of consolation. Bar means the son of. Nabas means consolation. You've heard of a man named Simon Bar-Jonah? Bar means the son of. Jonah means a dove. You've heard of blind Bartimaeus? Bar means the son of. Timaeus means foul. It means defiled. It means polluted. But God had mercy on him, didn't he? Do you have any idea what Barabbas means? Go with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba." What does that word mean? Look at the next word. Father. Barabbas means the son of the Father. That's what his name means. The son of the Father. Think about this man, Barabbas. Christ came and set him free. He was laying there with all the other thieves that had insurrection with him. What made him to differ? Christ came and set him free. Christ came and took his place. He was laying there bound, and Christ came and took his place. Christ died instead of him. If anybody could say it, Barabbas could say, "Jesus Christ died for me." I thought you were scheduled to die, Barabbas. I was. I was tried and convicted and scheduled to die. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, he took my place and he died for me. Every soul that says that from the heart, every soul that God gives a true heart to say, "Jesus Christ died for me," is a saved soul. That is the only story I have. That's the only story I have. I am Barabbas, and Jesus Christ died for me. That's the only message I have. It's the only thing I have to say. I'm Barabbas, and Jesus Christ died for me. Don't you have something that you can challenge us with theologically? No. I was just laying there dead in sins. I was as good as dead. And Jesus Christ set me free. It's amazing to think of who Christ came to save, isn't it? He came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. I love thinking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think about it a lot. How glorious that event's going to be. This earth is tough. This flesh is tough. And as soon as the Lord gathers all of us and cuts this flesh off of us and He conforms us to the image of Christ and everybody there looks like Jesus Christ and we're all gathered together sitting at His table, that's going to be glorious. And I don't know how long that event's going to last, but there's no time, so it doesn't matter. How long would it take to greet a number no man can number? And I think about being there and knowing as I have been known and going up to a young man who has the image of our Lord and saying, I'm Gabe. Oh, it's good to see you. I'm Abraham. We've been waiting on you. Hi, I'm Gabe. My name's Solomon. Good to have you here. How gloriously merciful would it be to have a man walk up and say, hi, I'm Barabbas. Come here, Barabbas. Christ really did come to save sinners, didn't He? And then a young woman walks up and says, hi, I'm Rahab. Oh, come here, Rahab. Every soul there is going to be saying, unto Him that loved us and gave Himself for us, washed us in His own blood. The song says, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from the Lord Jesus, a pardon receives. And every soul there is going to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I hope the Lord will bless that.